I recently had to have a conversation with someone that may have been difficult for the other person, but was extremely freeing for me. I believe that at some point in your life, it's important to start being intentional, being honest and authentic in the way we approach people in our lives, the way we approach circumstances we find ourselves in, and the way we go about achieving what it is we want out of this one and only life that we get. Now, if you don't know me, I'm Andrea Patrick, the BU Boss, and you are listening to the CEO Mindset Podcast, and I'm so grateful you are here. Whether you are a follower of me on Instagram, YouTube, my blog, and all the other places, or you are just now stumbling on my podcast, welcome. Thank you for joining me. Okay, back to this conversation that I had. The subsequent dissection of this conversation that I had with my husband, it actually led to me looking up a podcast that he recommended. I think it was a podcast where the speaker is talking about accepting the apology that will never come. Well, instead of finding that, what I actually found was an article by Nancy Collier on the Psychology Today's website. And when we come back, I'm going to dive into that because I think this is a conversation that needs to be had. All right, I'll be right back. Welcome back to the CEO Mindset Podcast. I'm Andrea Patrick, your host, and I'm so happy that you are joining me today. Subscribe if a CEO mindset is something you want to obtain and you want to find the intersection where your work and life coexist. The sky is the limit when you're clear about your value, consistent in the way you share said value, and you're upfront and honest about who you are while sharing it. There are so many examples to follow and learn from. Let's get into today's, shall we? All right. Okay. So in this article, Nancy says, to be able to admit that we've done something wrong requires a certain level of self-esteem or ego strength. People who are deeply insecure can find it challenging to say I'm sorry, in part because a single mistake has the power to obliterate their self-worth. The idea they could make a mistake and still be a valuable and good person is unthinkable for someone whose self-esteem is severely lacking. An apology is an admission of fallibility, which can trigger the vast reservoir of inadequacy and shame they carry, and thus threatening the fragile narrative they've constructed about themselves. For a person with a damaged sense of self-worth, acknowledging error can be tantamount to annihilation. Think about that for a second. She said, an apology has the power to obliterate someone's self-worth. It's tantamount to annihilation. And during the conversation that I talked about earlier, I didn't even have this information. But having read it in this article, I now understand I was never going to get what I felt I needed. The person I needed the apology from didn't have the ability to give it. Maybe they felt that that apology would obliterate their self-worth. Maybe they felt the apology for them would be tantamount to annihilation. I don't know what it was, but I realized after reading this article that I was never, ever going to get what I felt I needed. Okay? Never was going to get it. Maybe this person was just unable to give it to me. So now for those of you who understand what I mean, here's what I recommend you do. I recommend you go read this article. I will link it in the show notes so that you can read it for yourself, because after you finish reading this episode, because it goes on to provide some explanations as to why people are like this, why some people are unable to provide the apology. In this particular instance, it wasn't necessarily an apology. I'm going to get into that a little bit later about what it was, but it was an acknowledgement of sorts. So like I said, I would just suggest that you go about reading this article, because it's actually a great read. For now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share, before I read this article, this is kind of what last year led up to. And I've mentioned last year, I just kind of got fed up and I decided that 2024, this new year, was going to be different. And I was not going to allow certain things to take up residence in my mind, in my heart, in my body, in my soul. I just wasn't going to allow it. And so I learned some lessons, and I thought that I would share these lessons with you, because if you are like me and you have someone in your life that you have certain expectations that they just refuse to meet, and it has just torn at your soul, and it has really caused you a lot of stress and anxiety and frustration and just pain and suffering, then I think these lessons are going to be helpful to you. I also know that in addition to having learned these lessons last year, over 20 years ago, I've mentioned this before, I had an epiphany moment. And that journey that I subsequently took after that epiphany is what I have based my Project CEO program on. And it is a phenomenal program, guys. I'll talk about it a little bit more, but just know that these lessons that I'm going to share with you, there are three of them that I learned from just really starting to do some work starting last year. You know, as you know, my father passed away last year, and it's been about a year. That's why I thought this podcast episode was a good time. It's relevant to sort of what's going on in my mind and sort of where I am. And I just know some of you can relate to this. So I'd really love to hear, after you've listened to this podcast, I'd really love to hear from you. I want to know about how you've handled disappointment from not receiving the apology you thought you needed, or not receiving the expectation you had around a certain subject from someone. I want to hear about your experience with that. So, but until then, let's dive into these three lessons. Lesson number one is knowing when enough is enough. This was my first lesson, and I found there to be a few steps. I'm going to say approximately three steps here, because I might think of some more when I think back on how I got here. Like, this is what really stood out at me, was just knowing that enough is enough. And these three steps are kind of what I think led up to this. And I think that you can, you know, maybe listen to my steps and be able to highlight some points or some times or some things where you can now be like, oh, okay, I'm starting to see. I'm starting to really pay closer attention. So step number one is recognizing the negative reactions that I was having from certain, being around certain people. And by reactions, my reactions, the negative feelings, the negative reactions that my body had to certain people and certain situations. I had to start really paying attention to that, because I recognized sometimes I would go to a place where I knew this person was, and before I could even get there, before I could even like leave my home, just the thought of being in the presence of this person would start the anxiety. It would start the, oh my gosh, you know, I know this is going to happen. I know this is the way this is going to be. And when I started to realize where that feeling was coming from, you know, that was so big. When I was like, oh my gosh, this is why I continue to have this reaction. This is why I feel this way every time I get ready to do this thing or I go this place. This person is going to be there. And I started to recognize the reaction that my body gave me to that set of circumstances or to that person. So I think that step one is, you may not even know that it's kind of like when you go to the allergist, when you can't figure out why your nose keeps running or why your eye keeps running. And you go to the allergist and he tells you, strip everything away and only add things back in one at a time. And it's only when you do that you start to see, oh, it was that one thing that was causing that particular reaction. That's what I mean by recognizing that for yourself. That's step one. Step two is understanding where those reactions were coming from and analyzing that. So now that you recognize that you are having the reaction, okay, and you see, oh, wow, this person or this set of circumstances is what triggers this reaction, now it's time to dive a little bit deeper into that and analyze that. What about that person? What about that set of circumstances? Where does that come from? Because it's not just happening. There is a reason. And I would venture to guess that if you were to go back to the earliest interaction with the person or the earliest time, the first time that you actually were in this set of circumstances, what happened? What were the circumstances at that point? How did you feel then? What did this situation mean in your life? Was it a negative one? Were there negative things that happened? Does this person trigger negative thoughts, feelings, reactions because of something that happened or something that didn't happen? Maybe something was missing early on and it has just never been filled. And every time you're around this person, you are reminded that that thing is just not being filled. And it seems like that person is just purposely sometimes not doing the thing that they know you need out of spite, right? Maybe that's the feeling. And understanding and analyzing the reaction and where it's coming from is a huge step. And it's really a major step in achieving the release of that, letting that go. And then the third step here is just deciding that I just didn't want to feel that way anymore. So I recognized first that there was a negative reaction and wow, that anxiety is coming. Oh, wow, I have anxiety every time I get ready to do this thing or be around this person. The next is understanding where the reaction is coming from and analyzing it. Oh my gosh, it's coming from this thing or this person, and this is why. And this is really coming up even after all these years, understanding that, the where. And then deciding that, you know what, I just don't want to feel that way anymore. I don't want this to be my reaction. And so those three steps are how you get to a point where enough, you know that enough is enough because you've decided that you don't want to feel this way anymore. You don't want to have this reaction anymore. So the next lesson is knowing what I truly wanted. What was I truly after? Okay. And there are actually three steps here as well. Each of these steps is extremely important if you want to stop allowing your expectations that someone else will validate you, consider you, or provide you with emotional support from holding you hostage. So the steps here are, number one, doing introspective work. I needed to do this to determine where my deficiencies were in my life and what I wanted instead, how I wanted to fill those voids. Because obviously I was missing something. If I had these expectations that I was allowing to hold me hostage, there was something missing. There was a void missing that I needed to figure out. And I needed to determine what it was I actually wanted in that place, how I wanted to fill it. The next step is I had to become more conscious about where I placed my trust, where I gave my time, and how I protected my emotional well-being. So I made some decisions last year. I decided that I just did not want to live in darkness. And what I meant by that was I just did not want to be surrounded by negative people, negative things. I just didn't want to be filled with other people's problems. I didn't want their traumas and dramas on my back as something that I needed to fix. I don't need to fix other people's problems. I don't need to take on their crusade. I can support, I can encourage, I can motivate, I can do my best to inspire, but ultimately the troubles and traumas of other people are not mine. And so I had to take that ownership back and really start to own my time. And placing trust in people that didn't deserve it was something that I had to let go of. And I had to really start to look at my time. And I had to kind of fix some stuff about the way I was doing things as well with respect to my time, because I was allowing other people to hijack my time. I was giving, it was like I was a willing participant in my time suck. And so really understanding that, doing that introspective work was very helpful in identifying where I needed to stop giving people trust, where I needed to take back my time, and how I needed to protect my emotional well-being. That was something that I had to become very conscious of. And then the third step was just really getting to a place. Now, if you have been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, you know that your girl does not have problems using her words. But when it comes to those situations where you using your words could potentially harm or hurt the feelings of someone else, I find that I will hold off on saying some of the things that need to be said because I don't want to hurt people's feelings, especially people who have proven that they are ultra sensitive and just cannot take, you know, someone verbalizing their issues with them. So, but the third step here is really me verbalizing the changes that I've made to the people in my life, the people around me, and the fact that I needed to verbalize any adjustments in my expectations of those people that I spend most of my time with. You know, there were certain things at the end of last year that I was like, you know, to the people that I needed to say them to, this needs to change. This is not something that I am willing to continue because honestly, I just do not feel like it is being appreciated, or I don't feel like it is really making that much of a difference, or I feel like it is really contributing to the stress and overwhelm that I'm feeling, and I just no longer want to feel that anymore. So I was able to verbalize the changes that I had made to the people that mattered and help them as best I could adjust to my new expectations, all right? Especially for those people who wanted access to me. There just needed to be I just needed to speak some words. And some of the things that I really wanted that I needed to verbalize to people in some way, shape, or form were that I wanted to be considered. I needed some consideration. I needed emotional support. I needed to be encouraged. Sometimes you give and give and give. And I've mentioned this before that it is so important that we give out of overflow. Because if you don't, the lack of consideration, the lack of emotional support, the lack of encouragement can deplete you so quickly that you don't have time to refill your cup. And in some instances, that was happening to me. And so this lesson of knowing what I truly was after was so imperative. And the steps that I took to get there, this, you know, this introspective work, becoming more conscious about where I'm placing my trust, giving my time and how I'm protecting my emotional well-being, and then verbalizing these changes to people was huge. And I think that any of you going through something similar, you can learn from these lessons. Now, the Psychology Today article goes on to say, to receive an apology is a gift. When we receive that gift, guys, we feel heard and acknowledged. We feel understood, loved, and valued. We feel like we matter, right? And if you want to live in that space, I call it a space of positivity where you are considered. You do have emotional support. You are encouraged. You do feel like you mattered. You do feel like you've been acknowledged. You do feel understood. You do feel valued. To live in that space is a wonderful place to be. It is a true gift. But you cannot expect someone to give you the gift of an apology. Sometimes the apology won't come. So these lessons that I learned are how I am taking back the control and not relying on the apology, filling my own cup. So before I go on to my final lesson, I really want to acknowledge that you may not be ready to take the first three steps that I mentioned, let alone the second set of steps. I can relate to that. It took me a long time to get to this point, right? That's why I do this podcast, because I do think it's important to give you all the benefit of the lessons that I've learned. So many of us will go through life not feeling considered, not feeling like we have emotional support, not feeling like we've been acknowledged, not feeling like we matter, but we do. And when we allow other people, when we allow our expectations that other people are going to do certain things to make us feel that way, to hold us hostage, we're doing ourselves a disservice. Okay. So I just want you to know that I can relate, and I know what it's like to have no idea where to get started, but to have the knowledge that you're miserable and you just have to, something is going to have to give. I get that. I know exactly what that feels like. Granted, it was years and years ago that I felt that way, but I promise you the epiphany I had in this moment and the way that I have, you know, developed these steps to help you through it as well, I think will be so easy for you to catch and get and be able to work through for yourself. because I know what it is to seem like no matter how many different ways you express yourself to someone, it's just falling on deaf ears. And you feel like after a while, like maybe it's just something wrong with you, because clearly nobody else can. Maybe you're not speaking English. Maybe there's something wrong. Maybe there's something wrong with me that nobody's understanding me, hearing me, accepting me, acknowledging what I'm saying. Well, that's not true. There is nothing wrong with you. You are absolutely enough. And that's why my program Project CEO exists. It's the exact model that I followed to get to the place where I could own my feelings. I could evolve my mindset and I could express my change to those around me. And the work really does begin with you. No one else has the power to be you but you. So I want you to join the waitlist for Project CEO and learn about the new rollout coming soon. We have made this program so much more accessible to people who need it. And I'm telling you, just get on the list, because it is better to have the information that I'm going to share with you on that list and not need it than it is to finally come to the realization that you need the information, but now you don't have it. Okay, now my final lesson was this: getting to a point of intention. I was tired of what I felt was being done to me and decided to be purposeful in the who, which is the people that I surrounded myself with. I decided to be around positive people. Something I was thinking about today at the gym. I had this conversation with a guy, I was at the gym, but I was thinking about a conversation I had with one of our chamber members. He was standing next to me today, and he made a comment. He was going to see his grandkids and like the duties of a grandparent. And he was jokingly, you know, talking about like, oh, have you become the president of the chamber yet? And so it was a fun banter. And in it, I just made a comment that, I'm here for the people. I'm here not because I get tons and tons of business from the chamber, but because I enjoy socializing and I love the people of the chamber. And honestly, guys, if you are an entrepreneur, if you are in some industry, you're working for someone, surround yourself with the right people. Don't go to chambers expecting that you're going to sell. Go in and serve. Surround yourself with like-minded individuals who are also growing their businesses, because there's going to be a time where you need encouragement and someone else who was in that same boat, who may have been in that same place, will be able to lift you up and encourage you and motivate you, versus being around people who have absolutely no idea what it's like to have a business, the trials and tribulations of owning a business, the pitfalls that happen, the missteps that you make. And they in turn just give you a bunch of, well, maybe you should stop. Maybe it's not the thing you're supposed to be doing. Have you ever thought about just going to get a job? Those aren't the people you need to be around. If your soul is telling you that you have this business and you want to grow it, then you need to surround yourself with the right people. So being intentional, you need to get to the point of being intentional about the who, about who you surround yourself with. Next, I had to get intentional and purposeful in understanding the what. And here, this is the situations that I put myself in, that I allow myself to be in. I have to be very purposeful about that. I don't want to go to every networking group. I don't want to be at every party. I don't need to be at every single place or every single thing. But when I go, I want to be very intentional about my reasons for being there. I want to be very intentional about what I get from that situation. I want to be very intentional about what I give in those circumstances. And if I can't show up as myself, as to the fullest of who I am authentically, then I have to question whether or not it's a situation that I need to put myself in. I also have to be very purposeful about the how of it all, the way I behave, the way I react to others, the way I show up for other people's. What are my reasons for doing that? What are my reasons for showing up for other people? I do my best to show up not expecting anything in return. If I do show up, it's because it's where I want to be, not because I'm expecting you to do something for me later on. When I react to you, I have to be very purposeful in my reactions based on what I want to come out of the situation. what could affect the things that I want later on. My behavior is a reflection of my brand, my husband. It's so funny. I was speaking with someone yesterday and they wanted to meet with me today after the chamber meeting. And I said, ugh, you're messing me up. I was planning not to go to the chamber meeting. And this is the second time this has happened to me this week. I was also not planning to go to church on Sunday, but my husband said, well, I go to church every Sunday. And it really convicted me that I needed to go to church as well, because my behavior, even though my husband doesn't think so, but me, my husband's an elder in the church. If I don't show up for church and he shows up for church, I don't want that to reflect negatively on him. So I want to behave appropriately. I want to behave in a way that lifts my husband up, that sheds him in a good light. So I have to be very purposeful and intentional about how I show up, how I react to others, and how I manage the expectations of other people. My no is a no. My yes is a yes. And I want to make sure that I am clear so that there's no fuzzy, wuzzy, gray areas where people can leave, that things are left up to interpretation. No, I want to manage your expectations. This is the way I do behave. This is the way these are the things that I expect from you. This is what you can expect of me. This is my consistent behavior. I am this way always. You don't have to be concerned about me flip-flopping, things of that nature. So this third lesson, getting to a point of being intentional, was huge. And it really did define. And if you've been here a minute, you know that I do have my personal framework. We go over that inside Project CEO, but this is a part of it, really being intentional and being purposeful about the who, the what, and the how of it all. So that does it. These were my lessons. What lessons have you learned about accepting the apology that will never come, about managing your life, being intentional so that you don't have to deal with the overwhelm, the empty cup as much anyway? Hopefully you're not just pushing those expectations down and you're setting yourself up for another disappointment, because it's just not a good feeling. Life is too short to allow other people's actions to create anxiety, frustration, low self-esteem, or self-doubt in us. We are enough. So join my community of bosses and let's encourage one another to constantly evolve and be open to failing forward. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe, leave a comment and review. This is a self-funded podcast. So all of your comments, all of your reviews, all of your opens, all of your shares really do matter. So please leave a comment. Please leave a review. Please share this podcast episode with someone who needs it. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to bringing another episode to you again next week. Bye. That does it for today's episode of the CEO Mindset Podcast. Remember, this is the place to be to find the intersection between your personal life and your business life so that they coexist. It's also where you learn how to consistently evolve and be open to the failures that happen, be open to the opportunities, be open to the opportunity for change. Make sure you are subscribed. Leave your comments below about today's episode. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, I want to hear all about them. And I want to hear how you are using what you hear to grow your business, live the life you love, and have that quality of life that we are all looking to achieve. All right, guys, don't forget to follow me over on Instagram, AF Patrick. Definitely subscribe to my YouTube channel, Andrea Patrick Official. All the links that you need to continue following and being a part of the Be You Boss Squad community is listed in the show notes, along with any other links that I think might be amazing for this particular podcast. Remember, we are on all the podcast platforms. So if you have not already, find us and subscribe. See you again next week.